The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Well, our next guest has done something quite brilliant for making sure that he gets a really good interview. He's brought food in with him.
He has food, a cake.
A cake. He has brought a what is that?
That's a key lime pie.
This, of course, is Simon Delaney.
Hi, Matt.
Who is with us, who has a new book out called Simon's The Diner Cookbook. Let's put it this way. You have produced a book for food which is not diet food.
It's not diet food. It's good American home cooking. 20% of the recipes in there, however, are vegetarian and lean towards healthy, because you have to cater for that, Matt. But these are diner classic recipes that Elvis would have been proud of.
Yeah, but which do people do in their own home, really? Is this the type of stuff that people actually go out to get all the time? Sort of, you know, well, you give me the example, some of the things here. I've seen Eggs Benedict with chorizo patties.
Exactly.
Crab cakes with butter sauce. Barbecue pig cheek bagel with apple ketchup. Yeah. Burger with Monterey Jack and hot pastrami. Yeah. Why didn't you bring all those in for me?
He's complaining about the fact that all I brought in was a key lime pie. Do you know what? The thing about Ireland is that we don't really have an authentic kind of New York diner culture. There are places in Dublin where you can get a great burger, places where you can get great chicken, great ribs, but in a diner in New York or anywhere across the States, you can get all of those together. So what I did with the book was, first of all, the reason it's a diner cookbook is because I've spent a lot of time over there working some on my own, so I'll be eating in diners. I love the vibe of diners, the smells, the sounds, and I love the food. So what I did was I laid the book out like a diner menu. So you have a breakfast menu, you have appetizers, you have sandwiches, desserts, and even cocktails. So you can dip in. See, the beauty of
the diner.
See,
this is one of the reasons why I love going to New York, when I love going to the States and stuff. And maybe that's what's special about it. And rather than having pay limitations here in Ireland, I'm not saying your book,
no,
but diners and
exactly,
stuff like that.
Exactly. But that was the whole point of the book, was that I could try and recreate my favourite diner dishes at home and make them simple. Which is what I've done.
But the problem is, a lot of people will say, "Is if you'd eat that stuff on a regular basis, you wouldn't be too healthy,
well,
would you?"
See, the thing about it is, people automatically think a burger, oh, that's unhealthy. Unhealthy food is processed food.
Yes.
A burger that I have in my book is chuck beef, which you get from your butcher. It has an 80-20 mix, which means it's 80% lean, 20% fat in it. So it's good quality ingredients. The pastrami that we use in the burger is a cured beef from your butcher. You can use a low-fat cheese. We even make our own sauce, which is not a heavy sauce at all. So the association that people make with diner food, that's all unhealthy. It's not.
Simon, there are going to be people who are going to say, hang on a second, this guy is a well-known actor, Coronation Street, The Good Wife, a whole range of movies. Yeah. He's a TV presenter at the weekend, Saturday and Sunday morning on TV3. Where the hell does he get off telling people how to cook?
Which, I'm not telling people how to cook. I'm helping them. That's the thing, you see. And people are already tweeting me going, oh, here we go, another overnight chef. I'm not a chef. I'm not proclaiming to be a chef. I'm a cook. I'm a home cook. I've always cooked at home for Lisa and the kids. It's my passion. I was lucky enough last year to get the chance to do Celebrity MasterChef, which I did. I did reasonably well. I got myself to the final.
Cooked. Who beat you?
Niamh Kavanagh won it. Myself, Niamh Kavanagh, and Oisín na Conmhaill made the final. But on that journey, we got to cook in Pied-à-Terre, Michelin star restaurant in London, where we did a full lunch service. I cooked in Charlotte Quay here in Dublin. We were judged by Daniel Clifford, two Michelin star chef, who has written the foreword for the book. I'm not claiming to be a chef. I don't want to be a chef. I have enough on my plate with all that you said, plus four kids at home. I don't need to be 18 hours a day in the kitchen. And what I wanted to do is share the kind of food that I love and make it simple enough that people can cook at home.
Do you do all the cooking at home?
Every bit of it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm the head chef at home. Always have been.
And four children now. Do you impose upon them what they have to, or do you end up finding yourself like a short order chef?
That's
taking
exactly what it is.
Orders from different children.
You're,
I don't want the. I want
no,
that instead.
You're absolutely mad.
And
right,
you give
Matt.
In to them on that,
yeah,
do you?
I'd be a liar if I sat here and went, "Oh God, no! The kids eat everything that I cook. They don't." Most days, I have four little ones, ranging from 11 years of age down to 18 months. And regularly, I'll cook four different dinners, because I might make spaghetti and meatballs that myself and Lisa and maybe two of the kids will eat. One of the lads might want a pizza. You know, one of the lads, they won't all eat the same dinner.
Do you not say, eat what you're given or else you'll starve?
Well, that's the way you and I were brought up. You know, you didn't ask what was for dinner. You said what time was dinner at. You know what I mean? And that's the difference in us nowadays as parents.
I know,
you just appease them. You go, he won't eat it. And yet we sit there and we'll eat the spaghetti and meatballs, which are homemade from scratch, and say, they'd love it. It's gorgeous. Why won't you try it? I don't want it. But I've tried to do, what I've tried to do, Matt, is like we have every sort of second Saturday, I get my brother over with his son and my sisters. There'll be a clatter of kids in the house, and we make our own pizzas. And that's in the book. I make my own dough, I make my own sauce. The kids get involved. They put their own toppings on it and they cook it for 7 minutes and they mill it because they've cooked it.
How did you get into all of this?
My parents died when I was young. I was only 19 when my mom died. My dad died 6 years later. So myself and my brother and my sisters had to learn how to cook. Because we had to feed ourselves. And then, of course, when I got married and met Lisa and we had kids, then you really have to cook. Because whatever about not feeding yourself, you have to feed the little ones. I think if I wasn't doing what I was doing, I think I probably would have done something in the catering industry. I love the buzz of it. I love the panic, the pressure. There's a lot of alignment between...
Sorry, the panic and the pressure.
I love that. It's very similar to acting. It's very... That whole atmosphere in the professional kitchen, which I tasted during MasterChef, the pressure and its performance.
I suppose the timing is everything, isn't
Absolutely.
It? Because you have to have a certain thing
Absolutely.
Might be on for 20 minutes and something else has to be on
Correct.
For 8 minutes and something
else.
But
you've got to cook that, Matt, and then you've got to cook it again and then again and again. It's almost theatrical. When I got to the semi-final of MasterChef, we cooked in Pied à Terre in London under a chef called Andy McFadden. Irish chef, amazing guy, working in London. This is a Michelin star restaurant. And we had to do a full lunch service. And we thought, we didn't know what we had to do. So we went over the night before and went out the lash, as you do. So arrived into this man's kitchen at 7:30, dying 1,000 deaths. Myself and McConville had torn the back end out of it the night before. And then we put in a shift of about 11 hours. And I swear, as I'm sitting here, it was the hardest day's work that I've ever done. And I've worked on building sites. I've crawled inside air conditioned ducts and cleaned them. I've done some awful jobs. This was the hard. My hair was hurting me when I came out of it. But we had served 45 people, 3 plates of food each. So over 130, 140 plates of food, Michelin star standard. And none of them came back. They all paid full money for them. And I remember at the end of the day, sitting in the back lane of the restaurant, and the producer interviewed me for the show. And I said, the last time I felt like this, I was in London as well. And I just made my West End debut. I was exhausted, but exhilarated. And there's real similarities, I think, between the two professions. Daniel Clifford, who was one of the judges, a 2-Michelin-star chef. He said to me, he wrote in the foreword of the book that I reminded him of his front-of-house manager, who was a showman, that no matter what his day brought, when it came to service, the light went on and it was showtime. And I thought, there's something in that. And I loved the environment of people just wanting to get things right.
But funny enough, you mentioned the diners in the United States. I mean, going to a restaurant is not just about the functionality of getting food. There is a whole thing about the way you're treated by the waiters.
Absolutely.
If you're getting cocktails as well, mm-hmm. the sort of whatever effort mm-hmm. goes into mm-hmm. it. And atmosphere and environment
and vibe,
is important as the food.
It is. And also, I mean, you know, because you've spent so much time over there, the service.
It's totally different.
It's Premier League, you know. And it's Premier League, I think, because it's not false, because if they serve you well and look after you well, if the customer is king, you're going to tip more. And that's what they survive on. You know, my brother came over to LA recently. I was filming over there and he took a week out, came over to me. And every morning I got up and I went to the studios to film. He went down to this diner, Sunset Boulevard, K24. And he would order steak and eggs for his breakfast and a coffee and a Diet Coke. Just that's what he wanted. And of course, you're giving it with a smile. And he said to me, it's amazing. I said, why? He said, because if you ask for a coffee and a Diet Coke, here they go. You what? You want a Diet Coke with your breakfast? For Jesus' sake. Do you know what I mean? Whereas in America, they go, absolutely, sir. Do you want 2 Diet Cokes? Because that's increasing your bill.
And you're
increasing
happy,
your tip.
Tell us about the pie you've brought in.
Yeah.
Describe this for us. My production team are going to love this now.
I know,
and I divvy this
like
out
hawks.
With them.
This is a key lime pie. Originated in Florida. It's a diner classic dessert-wise. The key lime is the type of lime that they get in Florida. We don't get them on this side of the pond. The limes that we get in our supermarkets are called Persian limes. That's made with this. This is a chocolate
What's
biscuit.
What's the difference?
It's just a different type of lime. Same taste.
Okay.
Yeah, they might be slightly more sweet, the key limes in Florida. These are beautiful. This is a chocolate biscuit base, Matt.
This looks fantastic. I really hope we're making all our listeners hungry now.
I know. Yeah, I thought this would make great radio. You and I just sit here and eat a pie.
Oh, that's good. That looks good.
Yeah, it does cut well, Matt, as they say. Now, have you ever tried key lime pie?
I think I may have in the States previously,
probably.
Yeah.
Right, well, let's
thank you very much. I get it handed to me, and I have
and
the
while you eat,
well.
I'll just tell you how I made
you
it.
You do, exactly.
I bashed some chocolate biscuits, melted them with some butter, put them on a pastry tin base, baked for 15 minutes, and then it's just condensed milk, 3 egg yolks, and the juice of 4 limes, and baked that for 15 minutes.
Well, that is delicious.
It's not bad, is it?
How hard would that be to make for the person who picks up your book
right.
and then decides they're going to have a go at it? How difficult would it be?
I made 2 of them yesterday in 25 minutes.
But that's because you're good at
it. No. This is bashing biscuits in a bag. Put them into a
which
pan.
My kids love
some
doing,
water.
Actually,
there you
yeah.
go. And all you're doing is mixing some wet ingredients. Condensed milk, 3 egg yolks and the juice of 4 limes. Done.
That's it.
That's it. And I've even shaved some white chocolate and vanilla on that for you as well. But some that's just because it was you, man.
It's excellent.
Do you like it?
I do. I love it.
Good.
I have to say, I love that. I'm actually even more. I'm going to finish that entire slice as soon as we finish the interview. And I'm going to make no bones about
good
it.
Man,
it's
I'm
all
delighted.
Going.
Good man.
And I think I'll give the production team the rest of it.
We
might keep
here,
it for
yeah.
you a little bit there. Okay. Okay. The new book, how many recipes are in Simply Simon's The Dinner Cookbook? Diner Cookbook, sorry.
There are 54, 55 recipes plus a cocktail menu of 10. So there's about 65 to 70 recipes in there. It's a 224-page book. It was a phenomenal amount of work because I've written it different, I think, to any other kind of cookbook. I introduce every recipe. I tell a little story about the origin of the dish. The book's filled with funny food quotes. It's kind of, it's not taking itself too seriously.
It's an entertainment itself.
Yeah, I'm not a chef, Matt. You know, I'm a man who likes to cook and a man who likes to eat, clearly.
Simon Delaney, great seeing you. Thank you very much for coming in and joining us.
Enjoy the cake.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.